This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Dick Batchelor is a former Democratic state lawmaker. He's the founder of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Dick, thanks for coming back.
Good to be back. Thank you.
We're also joined by Frank Torres, Republican political analyst. Frank, thank you as well for joining us.
Always good to be here.
Well, let's begin with CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, is in Orlando at the Convention Center. Organizers chose a state that's, let's say, distinctly more pro-opening despite the ongoing pandemic than some other states. It'll also be the first major public speech for former President Donald Trump since he left office. Frank, I want to start with you. I mean, what does it mean for Florida that what's known as the Super Bowl of conservative politics is being held in the city beautiful?
Well, you know, I feel, you know, two different ways about it. On one hand, I'm certainly happy for the economic development. You know, CPAC is a win for the convention district during a very difficult time. On the other hand, well, you know, it's a little bit divisive. I was hoping to see kind of a new beginning or a push in a new direction after we just lost the presidential race. Instead, we're going back to the president, and, you know, it's just a sign of how strong his popularity has maintained and how influential he still is despite losing the election and all the problems that administration had in the final days.
Indeed. I mean, and we talked about this at the end of last year, kind of casting ahead to what we might expect for 2021. This is the first major appearance for Trump since he was found not guilty in a second impeachment trial as well. Are you expecting him to touch on that in his speech coming up on Sunday?
You know, Matt, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this guy just declared that he was just going to run again in a couple of years at this weekend. That really wouldn't surprise me at all. I think, you know, this is going to be his crowd, you know, his following. It's going to be in Orlando. He kicked off his last campaign here in Orlando in the heart of the I-4 corridor, and he won the state. So I'm not going to rule anything out as far as what this guy is going to say. And, you know, I just hope that it's something positive and certainly something peaceful, because I think that's in the back of all of our minds of what we saw in Washington last month, is that we don't want any of that here in Orlando.
Dick Batchelor, we haven't spoken on this show, at least, since before the impeachment trial. I wanted to just touch on that for a moment. Did the impeachment managers drop the ball on calling witnesses?
No, I don't think so. I think they made their case. They knew they didn't have the votes, but it needed to be recorded in the history books that there was a second impeachment inside the House. There was a trial, and they had to establish a record. I think they did a good job. But if I'd like to comment on the upcoming CPAC conference, I think it's going to be like the Republican Woodstock of the South, right? It's going to be like all the sycophants. You're going to have, you know, Ted Cruz is going to give a speech. Senator Hodges is going to give a speech. Lindsey Graham is going to give a 10-minute speech. And I would assume that the DeSantis would show up and get his ordainment for if he wants to run, because he'd be running against Donald Trump if he was going to run in 4 years. But anyway, so it's going to be an interesting get-together. The fascinating thing to me is Trump's already declared war on Mitch McConnell, the Senate now minority leader. And so all these senators appearing with Trump are going to basically kind of stake their claim with Trump and really inference in opposition to Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. You've got the two parties vying to control. Who's going to control the Republican Party? Is it Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party, or is it Donald Trump? Is he going to basically take over the Republican Party? And that's what Mitch McConnell's afraid of. So the politics inter-facility or inter-party to me is very fascinating.
Now, if Trump runs again in 2024, what happens to those presidential ambitions for either Governor DeSantis or any of the others? What do you think about that?
I guess what they're trying to do is cultivate his base in case he doesn't run. In order to do that, you just got to be seen with him as often as possible, get a lot of optics going, a lot of photo narratives going on. So in case he doesn't run, maybe he will ordain you. So they're all trying to demonstrate to Trump, if he doesn't run, he should ordain one of them to run.
I think barring a health reason, he's going to run again. And if he decides to run again, I think he's going to clear the entire field. I think everybody's going to get out of the way except for maybe one or two stragglers, and those stragglers that don't get out of the way will probably be defeated pretty soundly. But we're going to have to look at some of the factors. We're going to have to look at his health. We're going to have to look at the direction the country is going to be going in. There's typically a midterm backlash or a midterm drop that happens with almost every presidential administration. We'll see how the Biden administration handles that in a couple of years. And then we'll just have to see what the rest of the field looks like and all the other developments that's going on. But if he decides he's going to run again, he's going to be the front runner, certainly, in any primary he has. And we're going to see what his next campaign or what his next message looks like and how effective it'll be with the voters.
Is this a kind of a watershed moment, Frank, for the Republican Party? Like, do you see a new party emerging, or do you see them changing course at all and maybe shedding some of the elements of the Trump message and mantra that some Republicans have found pretty distasteful over the last 4 years?
You know, that's a good question, but the answer is no. I mean, he's going to be the keynote speaker at CPAC right here in Orlando, and, you know, it's going to be a campaign rally feel until the party decides that they want to go in a different direction. They're not going to go in a different direction, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of moderates and a lot of Republicans that might not feel excited about what they saw from Trump during the last few months in office. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be a decision to make, and that's how votes are lost. So, I mean, we'll have to see what the president has to say, what his message is going to be moving forward, and how the rest of the party lines up behind him. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen any signals whatsoever that there's going to be a change of direction.
You're listening to Intersection on WMFE. I'm Matthew Petty. We're speaking with political analysts Frank Torres and Dick Batchelor. Let's pivot to federal politics and how they impact the state of Florida for a moment. Orlando is one of the sites for a federal vaccination center in Florida. The announcement for that was preempted by Governor DeSantis last week. Frank Torres, what's going on here with DeSantis kind of getting out with the message ahead of the federal government itself? Is there some political gamesmanship, and does that have some impact on the working relationship between Florida and the federal government?
I think it attacks sort of all angles. I think DeSantis is under the microscope for his leadership on this vaccination process, as well as the Biden administration. And everybody's going to try to get out in front of this message. But it doesn't make a difference if the rollout doesn't go as planned. Naturally, mass vaccination sites for, you know, four major markets, that's great news. Really, from any sort of political perspective you have, the fact that we're going to get four of these locations here in Florida, that, you know, it's hard to really oppose that in any direction. And I believe every single politician from municipal office in Orlando, from city commission, all the way up to the White House, needs to get behind pandemic recovery for this year. Mm-hmm. Or else we're all going to get left behind, and a lot of people are going to get hurt.
One of the goals that President Biden talked about was 100 million COVID-19 vaccinations in the first 100 days. So we're about one-third of the way into that first 100 days. I mean, things are a little different, right? It's a different tone and feel from the White House. When you look at how some of those goals are shaping up, what's your read on that, Dick Batchelor?
Well, first of all, as you alluded to, President Biden said that he would give 100 million, be sure that 100 million vaccinations were put in the arms of people in the first 100 days. He will exceed that, and now he's made a commitment by July, 300 million, actually 600 million doses, 300 million people. Everybody who wants a vaccine should have one. But the politics of it is interesting, too, because, you know, when he announced that he's going to engage the CDC to open these sites like at Valencia West Campus, you know, DeSantis called them, you know, camps. We're not going to participate in the vaccination. Camps, you know, alluding to something that was militaristic and negative. And then he reached out and said, okay, we'll give the shots to Holocaust survivors. Should they get them? Yes. Or, oh, they absolutely should get them. We'll give them to the people who fought at Bay of Pigs. Should they get them if they're qualified with age? Absolutely. And then he had this very high-end Republican district over in Manatee County where mm-hmm. he came in, but you couldn't come in from the outside. So it was restricted to them. So he's politicizing the vaccine campaign has now become a political campaign for him. The next, he's going to divide up the blue and red counties and decided that the red counties get the vaccinations next. So he's really politicized this. And you see nationally, because he's got a lot of Fox coverage on this, he's trying to go ahead and drive a wedge between himself and the administration, which is interesting because you would think that you might want to just say, hey, we don't agree on most issues, but by the same token, I am the governor of one of the largest states in the country. We do need help from the federal government, whether it's vaccinations, economic development, labor, Medicaid, whatever it is. Can we work on those issues? But when you just got spit on the foot of the person who's the president of the United States gratuitously, I think it's not good for the citizens of the state of Florida.
I wanted to talk a little bit too about the 2021 legislative session set to begin next week. Governor DeSantis has a pretty ambitious budget lined up for this. There's more than $4 billion extra dollars in it compared to last year. That's in spite of the pandemic. In fact, because of the pandemic, because the governor points out that a lot of that is pandemic relief. Frank Torres, what kind of a task do lawmakers have on their hands to, you know, reconcile this budget and get something passed at the end of the two-month legislative session?
Well, there's always a lot of pressure and there's always a lot of drama up in Tallahassee. You know, it's given the way that we do things up here, and Dick would certainly know this, it's a race against the clock to try to get as much done as possible, and everybody's, you know, sort of tugging at the levers, trying to get their particular legislation passed, and I think we're just going to see a sprint highlighted by this mandatory and necessary urgency to get some pandemic relief out there. But we might also see a lot of things, you know, fall to the wayside, a lot of important priorities involving, you know, education and housing that might have to go to the back burner just because there simply isn't a lot of time. Of course, you never rule it out, but I certainly wouldn't rule out a special session this year to get this stuff done, because you know that next year we're right back in election season and they're going to try to make that session as short as possible. So expect them to try to cram as many issues as possible just so they can get their priorities done and so that they don't have to do it next year when a lot of them are up for re-election.
Dick Batchel, you've obviously got an interest in some issues that you've been outspoken on too, like housing, for example. When you look at this budget, are you a little bit worried about what might be cut from it if you're talking about some of those essential things, affordable housing, et cetera?
I mean, as you pointed out, you know, the budget is substantially higher than it was last year. And there is what the legislature has created, the rainy day fund, which is a reserve, which they probably won't touch, even though there's several billion dollars sitting in that fund because they're economic conservatives. And they've actually now gone to a kind of a zero-based budgeting review of all the programs. But DeSantis is rewarded by the CARES Act money. That's why he has the latitude to propose a budget of $4 billion over last year. Now, keep in mind, the first 2 years as he was governor, he proposed fully funding the Sadowski funds, which are the affordable housing funds, and he proposed it full funding both times. And, of course, the legislature cut money out the last time, but it still got more money than any previous year. So I have not looked to see if the governor is proposing full funding the Sadowski funds, but notwithstanding his proposal, as Frank alluded to, when the cutting starts, you know, everybody needs to hide because I don't think there's going to be any new money, any new programs. If you're in a Tallahassee trying to fund a new program, I think you're just, you know, you're just wasting your time because I think they're going to have to cut places, notwithstanding the CARES Act money. I'm afraid affordable housing, the Sadowski funds might even get cut, even though during a pandemic, when you're now getting ready to lift the moratorium on evictions, it becomes more dire consequences for those people who will become homeless tomorrow that are not homeless today. So the Sadowski funds are even more important.
Well, one question I have is, you know, if now is not a rainy day to get your hands on some of that rainy day fund money, when is? Like, when would be a good time to use that money?
I have one opinion, and the legislature has another one. So I think you go into the rainy day fund now, and if you look at all the economists, most of them are saying that post-pandemic we can have a resurgence in the economy and almost get back up to par where we were, so you can anticipate growth in the economy. So based on that anticipation, your economic revenue estimated conference could say we could take some money out of the reserve. But again, the legislature, the leadership is, and the governor, pretty conservative as far as fiscal concerns. So I don't see them raiding the rainy day fund.
Frank, your thoughts on that?
One thing we've only mentioned, you know, briefly, the push of influence here. Every legislator has their priorities. They're all getting tugged at in different ways by the, you know, the lobbying corps up there. And that tends to shake out things the way the money gets moved around. But I do agree with, obviously, the consensus of the economists. We will see a resurgence after this pandemic. I think everybody's waiting them, you know, to get out of their house and try to get back to some sense of normal. So I think if you're going to go for any sort of measures that would increase relief or speed up relief, I think you go for it. And we'll see what they have to do.
Well, we've been speaking with Frank Torres, Republican political analyst. Frank, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
And also joined by Dick Batchel. He's a former Democratic state lawmaker, also the founder of the Dick Batchel Management Group. Dick, thanks as well.
Thank you for your time. Enjoyed it.
Still to come, we'll ask State Senator Joe Gruters, the chair of the Florida Republican Party, what it means to bring CPAC to Florida and about his involvement in a Republican Party committee on election integrity. Stay with us.